Thank you, Steve. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. Thrilled that you're listening. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Hello, Wendy.
Good morning. I want to thank all of you for not helping me yesterday, because at about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I was taking Kona the dog for a walk, and I looked down and I said, oh, God, there's something white on the side of my shirt.
Yeah.
I wore my shirt inside out the whole
yesterday
day. Why didn't anyone tell me?
I thought that was the style.
That's what we all thought.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
Oh, Pam Jones did that the other day, too.
I took a picture of it, posted it on, I put it on Instagram. Look how stylish Wendy is.
Yep. We just assumed that that was one of those Paris things that we don't understand, but you were all over.
In fact, Bill said la-ti-da.
La-ti-da.
There's just this white tag, because there's always a tag on the side.
Very cool.
That's the way the kids are wearing them.
In fact, I was reading your machine wash only.
You had to zoom in on that, huh? Jasmine, didn't you notice? Why didn't you tell me?
As a child, I wore my shirts notoriously backwards all the time.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a style.
It shows that you're rebellious.
So I felt like it was another style.
No, it shows that I'm getting old. Next time I'm going to line my lips and it's going to be outside my lips.
Oh, that's happened a few times.
Now that I would tell you.
That's happened more than once.
The good news about wearing your clothes inside out is you can get another wear out of it.
Wow. How practical of you. That's excellent. Well, good for you. So when you discovered this, you got mad at us? Don't get mad at us.
Well, yes.
Why?
I was sitting on the porch getting ready to take the dog for a walk. My son Michael's there, and I looked down, and I said, oh, my God, I've had my shirt on all day inside out. He goes, you're just noticing that now?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. No one told me.
We've all discussed it in the past, and we decided it's best to just let this play out.
So I have a parallel experience, Wendy. You might feel sympathy here. About 2 weeks ago, I started growing a beard.
You did?
Oh, that's cruel.
Sorry. Like a goatee,
Steve.
Or a whole... Oh, you have a goatee currently. And
look
then
at
you,
the monitor.
I can't see.
Look at the monitor.
Yeah, it's really starting to come in.
Okay. I started like last weekend
did
before.
You notice, Ben?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's a white beard. It's there. Okay. Outside of my home, my adoptive son, Jack, who's living with us, Noah, and my wife, outside those three people, no one that I've come in contact with has mentioned it. Until yesterday was the first person.
Who was it?
Jim Dahlke from Chicago Inno. But I was coming home, I'm like, Sharon, they're just looking right through me. They don't even notice.
Usually when a guy grows a beard, about a week or 10 days in, people start doing this. They don't use the language to convey the fact that they've noticed, but they'll feel their own chin and they'll go, like that. They just feel their chin and they make caveman type noises.
Right. Or
right?
Maybe growing a beard or trying to grow a beard.
Yeah, you get a lot of that.
I'll come look at you up close. I didn't know.
Why would that be? Because that's hurtful, Steve. That no one. Now I noticed it, but I just chose.
You didn't notice it. You would have
Steve?
Said. You would have said something.
No, I just pulled that on Wendy. I'm not going to believe it from you.
I feel so sad. We should play that cellophane song from Chicago.
Mr. Cellophane could have been my name.
Exactly.
Well, my theory is that now men's facial hair is changing so often that.
Can I just say, though, had you been, like, if Bill all of a sudden was sporting a beard, which I loved it in the 80s or 90s, it was really good.
Yep. I look good then.
You're not freshly shaven every day. You have had a goatee, so I didn't notice any more of it. I just,
there's Steve.
He's got stuff on his face.
It's okay. I'm just saying.
I feel bad now.
No, do you remember the episode of The Office where Stanley has not gotten into the office yet, but they make a bet as to whether or not Stanley has a beard or a mustache or anything? And as a viewer to that show, you'd go, I don't know. I see him every week. I don't know if he does or he doesn't.
Isn't that terrible? He does, right?
Yeah, he did.
Did? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Bertrand's in here.
Look at that. Steve had
your beard looks really nice. I'm not even kidding.
Well, see, wouldn't you think you would have noticed this? I mean, it's a full beard.
I'm surprised I didn't.
You know what you look like, Steve?
I look you in the eye every day.
It's so funny, though.
You look like a well-read prospector.
I thought he was going to say prostitute.
No, well, actually, you know what? How do you say it?
Right.
No, but you look like a prospector who reads a lot.
So
is that a strange? That's
no,
a weird
I'll take
mix,
that.
Right?
Yes, I don't care.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to defend myself here. You know, as we get older, your
hair's white.
Yeah. So
okay.
I'm still just the goatee. I'm so used to seeing you with that's all I'm seeing. The other part of it kind of blends in. You have to look kind of closely.
Right.
You've seen me for 10 days now with a beard.
Seriously? It's been that long?
I started the weekend before last, so... I really don't care. It's just all of a sudden it's like, Sharon, nobody...
How can no one say anything?
Not a word. Like, I don't like it, or
I like
it.
Oh, well, Bill noticed. He just didn't know what to say.
I didn't know what to say.
Right. You're not telling the
because
truth.
Because it's at the stage where it's like, it's not fully thought out. Like, you don't... Like, you could change your mind at any moment and go, nah, the beard. I don't need a beard.
Well... It's fine. It's all good. But I'm just so... If they didn't notice your tag, you know.
Well, good. I'm happy about
Steve,
it.
Steve, you have a tag on your beard and none of us have said a thing about it.
What do you think about it? Are you going to keep it?
That means she doesn't like it.
No. I'm asking a question.
Interesting. See, I think so, maybe. Who knows?
How much time does it save you in the morning to not shave?
I shaved so much.
You still shave?
No, I shave at night now just underneath. It's great.
Just to keep it trim.
Get up and go. Yeah. I love that.
You look distinguished.
I did yesterday, too.
There was a search for that word.
What word
can I say that is not offensive in any way?
Isn't it funny, though, that you're saying I look distinguished today, but...
What does that mean? It's usually a guy's wife or girlfriend that says it looks distinguished, but what exactly does that mean?
Pulled together, intelligent, a quality male.
Is that right? It means all that?
Mm-hmm. I'm a quality male.
Steve, congratulations on being a quality male.
Well, I'm going home.
Shaved. I mean, some guys can sport it, and it's just a real sloppy beard, you know? But that looks very neat.
But no one's ever called distinguished if you don't have some sort of growth on your face. A clean-shaven man is never referred to as distinguished. Why wouldn't they be?
Well, I think of distinguished as like a professor with maybe a pipe and a Mr. Rogers type sweater.
Yeah. That's what Steve
and
needs.
And he wears those.
He does. Yes,
actually, he didn't hear us because he was in between studios at that point.
The sweater?
Oh, that was fast. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more discussion. We're at 312-981-7200 if you have something to add. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Mildew.
That's great.
Mildew.
A texter named Sue has sent us this. I just hope that Steve doesn't go the Letterman route with his beard. Steve's beard is very neatly trimmed. David Letterman is very Rutherford B. Hayes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go that way, though.
You're going to do that, Steve?
Then you're going to have to start brewing your own beer.
He says I don't.
That's true. I know this is personal, but I'm curious. At the end of the show yesterday... You had some dental work that needed to be done. I believe root canal work was going to be done on you, right?
Yes. I clench my jaw when I sleep. Yeah. I don't grind. I just clench.
Yeah.
And in the past, I have cracked a couple of molars on the right side, so I had to get root canals first and then implants.
Oh.
Dental.
Oh, I lost that bet.
So now on the other side, it's happening, and I had a toothache before I went on vacation.
Yes.
So I went to my dentist, Dr. Paul Ladone, who has great magazines, by the way, and they're all up to date. I read some of them yesterday.
We were kidding about that yesterday. You followed suit.
I did.
Yeah? Oh, all right.
I did. And he said, you know, let's get this taken care of. You know, took an x-ray. It looks like there's an infection, you know, under your tooth. So he put me on an antibiotic and I went on vacation and it doesn't hurt anymore. So I rescheduled a couple times. And yesterday I said, you know, it's not even hurting.
Right.
Can we just not do it? And he goes, yeah, no, get in the chair.
Oh.
So he's like,
he's forceful.
It's something waiting to happen. So when he got in there, it was just a little worse than anticipated. Mm. And it was about to be abscessed, he said. So it's really hard for me to not talk for that long.
Yeah, I bet.
Your mouth is open so long. Your jaw starts hurting.
And dentists tend to ask you questions while they're working on you. And they know you can't answer reasonably because there's various apparatus in your mouth. So they'll ask you a question. Hey, what's your cousin up to?
I know. I'm telling you, Paul and his assistant Paula.
Yeah, really?
I know. Isn't that? They've been working together forever. Paul's dad was my very, very, very first dentist.
Yeah.
And then he took over. And so they're sitting there, and I had a bit of my tooth that was like in the back of my throat. And I get really anxious in the dentist chair because I've had so much work done. So I'm trying to explain. And Paul's like, okay, let me get the suction. I mean, they totally can understand that talk.
That's amazing.
So I guess there were some issues. So I was in the chair for like an hour-ish. And then he put some antibiotic in the actual root canal. He got the root out, but he couldn't finish it because it just was in a bad situation. So he put some antibiotic in there, and I have to go back next Monday to get it finished. But as he started, I said, you know, for some reason, Novocaine doesn't work that well on me, so you may have to keep shooting me up. And he goes, I got you covered. First drill, I could still feel it. So then he did heavy duty stuff. I was numb last night for probably 4 hours after I got
home. 4 hours later?
Yeah. I was talking like Marsha Ray.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Shepherd Shacking Cat. It was really bad. So he warned me that it was going to be super sore, and it's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but he must have thought it was to make you go through with this,
right?
Well,
I took some Advil extra strength Tylenol combination that he recommended, and I took it as I was leaving his office. So then the Novocaine wore off, and it was like Jim kept saying, how's your I said, not that
bad. You're not feeling it bad.
I mean, I'm aware of it, but I still feel like I'm...
Oh, slurring a little?
A little bit.
Have you had root canal before?
Yeah, I've had like 4 of them.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because of these teeth that I cracked,
yeah.
They try a root canal first. If that doesn't work, then you have to get an implant.
Right,
I think I've had 1, 2, and 1 redone. This is my 4th. Yeah, it's not fun. I don't like it.
It's painful.
It was okay. The hardest part was keeping my mouth open and not talking. That was the hardest part for me. And then afterwards...
No.
What, Steve?
Nothing.
Afterwards, Dr. Paul gave me one of these vodka martini frozen ice things. It's like a Mr. Freeze, but it was a lemon drop martini. That was awesome.
With alcohol in it?
Yeah.
Your doctor gave you that?
Yes. He's the one who turned me on to rum chata, too, after one root canal.
He's a registered doctor?
Yes, he is. Dentist, yes.
Dentist?
Yeah.
Nice. I didn't know they had the authority to prescribe alcohol.
Well, he didn't prescribe it. He said, he would you like to try one? Here's an Appletini or a lemon drop. And I said, I'd go lemon drop.
Is there a frozen pina colada machine in his
No, they're like Mr. Freeze's. You can get them at Costco.
Oh.
Although Jim asked, I couldn't eat last night because I was afraid I was going to bite my tongue off.
Yeah.
And so Jim said, is there anything you want? Do you want me to get you some of those frozen vodka pops? And I said, I would love that. They didn't have them at Sam's Club.
You have to go to a dental supply place to get those. It's the only place that carries them.
They were really good, and I think you'd like them.
And it's good incentive, I bet, while you're in the chair. You
no,
go,
this
look.
Was afterwards when I was...
Yeah, but all through the process, if you know that's the payoff at the end, you go, I can sit through this.
I didn't know, but now I'm going to expect it every time.
Every time. You've had that many root canal jobs done?
Yeah,
that's a bunch.
I'm a big ball of stress, Bill, and I can feel
it.
It carries
itself in your teeth.
Well, I clench. Oh. I don't grind. And I've tried so many of these mouth guards at night. The first one was just like, you know, when you played football, you'd put that big rubber thing in your mouth. It
mouth
ended
protector.
Up like on the cat when I had Declan the cat.
Oh.
So it just wouldn't stay in my mouth. Then I tried like a retainer type thing, and quite honestly, in my opinion, if there's something foreign in your mouth, you bite harder. It protects your teeth, but it doesn't really help my jaw.
Yeah,
so,
it's too bad you don't grind too, because they could use you as a coffee machine at the house.
I'm so glad, like you don't live with me. I was getting so much last night. Like, are you okay? You want me to get
anything? Sympathy, sure.
Frozen vodka pops.
Sure. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You have an incredibly nurturing home, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Not usually.
Your husband went out to Sam's Club to buy you.
Well, we were out of toilet paper, so he was going anyway.
Okay. All right. Not as nurturing as it was a minute ago.
Yeah. But he did ask, and it was really sad because one of my favorite fast food places is Taco Bell, and they were bringing home Taco Bells, and Jim's like, do you want a chalupa? I said, no, I can't have it.
Well, 4 more root canals, and I think you get a 10th one free, I think. A lot of places will give you a punch card.
Good, because they're expensive.
I know they're expensive. And a 2-parter.
Yeah.
Although I've only had one, and I think it was a 3-parter. I remember having to go...
Well, then you have to get a temporary crown, and then you get the real crown fit.
Yes.
He's going to try and combine the temporary and the rest of the root canal next time.
Do they still do a thing? My dentist used these little pins.
Yeah, that he kept, you
they
hear
still do,
it.
Yeah, you do hear it.
And
it makes a screamy noise.
A screechy.
Like
that. Yeah, I don't like the sounds more. I mean, I didn't feel anything after he doubled up on the Novocaine. Uh-oh. But it's weird. Like, even when I had an epidural for the kids, that stopped working. I don't know why I've
become... Your body fights it off somehow.
It's just doesn't work for
me. Yeah, that's strange. But you're okay.
Yeah, I feel loopy.
Oh.
It's weird that you're loopy today and dressed correctly. And you were.
Yeah, I know. That's a good point.
How can that be? All right, we'll do this. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. It is Tech Tuesday, so later on, Bridget Carey will return.
Really?
She's just had a baby, Wendy.
And she's back in action?
Back in action. There's a tape that I want so badly to play, and I can't.
Because
there's so much swearing in it. That I tried to find a part of the tape that was usable, and there really isn't. The tape is with Chris Cuomo from CNN. He's having a fight with a guy. I can't figure out exactly where they are. It looks like some sort of a fair. It looks like they're at a fair of some sort, but it doesn't say in the story exactly where the story takes place. But Chris Cuomo and this guy are having this huge debate, this loud, loud argument, because the guy who is at whatever place it is, fair or not, I don't know.
What kind of fair?
I can't figure it out. It's very strange. Most of the camera is focused on Chris Cuomo and this other guy, and then you just see stuff in the background that looks like it's at an outdoor fair, but I don't know. It doesn't say in the story where it is. Anyway, the guy referred to Chris Cuomo as Fredo, which is an Italian stereotype based on John Cazale's character from The Godfather, Fredo Corleone.
Who was the bad son?
Depending on how your scoring system works, I mean, Sonny could have been the bad son. Anyway, in his eyes, in Chris Cuomo's eyes, he said that calling him Fredo is horribly derogatory toward Italians. He equates it with being as bad as the N-word is.
Oh, gosh, come on.
I don't think it's that bad by far, but Chris Cuomo does. But in the whole fight, they're yelling back and forth and back and forth about this. A profanity-laced video surfaced on Monday night showing CNN anchor Chris Cuomo threatening to throw a man down the stairs for calling him Fredo, referring to the fictional character Fredo Corleone from the Godfather films. But the core of the backlash centered on one claim from Chris Cuomo, that calling an Italian person Fredo was comparable to using the N-word, an assertion that many Italian Americans scratching their heads, and other critics calling Cuomo out of bounds. I like Chris Cuomo a lot. I don't think it's even close.
It sure is not.
I've only heard it used one other time as a stereotype. In years and years and years, only one other time. And it's just, I mean, I'm not Italian, so I don't know exactly
I'm half
how.
I'm Italian.
If somebody were to refer to you or someone close to you as a Fredo, would it be that upsetting to you or
no,
not?
No, I'd take it more as like I'm a traitor kind of thing.
Oh.
That's how I'd take it. I wouldn't take it, because why, I mean, Guido, you could say that too.
That's the one that's more commonly used.
But maybe
but
that
it's not as insulting?
I don't think so.
The guy in the tape, though, is adamant. Cuomo's right on this guy. They're just, you know, they're nose to nose. It looks like they're going to start punching each other.
Oh, that makes me nervous.
And, wait till you see, I mean... I don't know how this didn't end in a brawl, because they were that close, and Cuomo keeps threatening him that he's going to throw him downstairs and stuff like this. But just the way the guy says it, now the guy maintains that he thought that that was Chris Cuomo's name. He goes, oh, I thought that was your name. And Chris Cuomo's not having any of that. But then the guy says, you're much more reasonable in person than you are on TV. So if that guy knew Chris Cuomo from TV,
he'd know
his name. His name was not Fredo Cuomo. He knew his name was not Fredo.
But, you know, Chris Cuomo should not be attacking someone. I mean, did he actually hit him or no?
He never hit him.
But he got all in his face like that?
It was within inches of punches being thrown. And I kept thinking all during this, Chris Cuomo seems like a fairly level-headed guy for the most part. Not if you watch this videotape, you won't think that. But for the most part, from watching him on TV for years, he seems like a fairly level-headed guy. He's got to realize he's got so much more to lose in this than that other guy.
100%.
So much more.
Okay, I just listened to 7 seconds of it.
Yes.
And, what was Cuomo thinking? I mean, all I heard was 7 seconds, but the language he's using...
Oh, yeah.
It just seems crazy.
Oh, yeah. Are you Italian? Cuomo asked the group of men involved in the confrontation. Now, there's one guy in particular who's kind of at the forefront of this, but then he's got other guys near him. And again, I'm sorry if I can't tell exactly where this is. It looks like it's some sort of an outdoor fair, but it doesn't say in the story exactly where it takes place, so I don't know. Chris Cuomo defended himself when he was verbally attacked with the use of an ethnic slur in an orchestrated setup, said CNN spokesperson Matt Dornick in a statement on Twitter. We completely support him. I wondered if CNN would stand by him in this or not. They seem to be so far. President Trump then weighed in on the controversy on Tuesday morning, taking digs at both Cuomo and CNN. I thought Chris was Fredo also, the president tweeted to his 63 million followers.
Wait, seriously? That's kind of funny. Sorry, I'm giving him a laugh.
The truth hurts. Totally lost it. Low ratings at CNN, tweeted our president.
But then he goes on to say that Cuomo's crazy and shouldn't have weapons, right?
Yes.
Which is just capturing the moment of the country.
Right.
All right.
The zeitgeist.
Well, according to Newsweek, Rush Limbaugh calls Chris Cuomo Fredo when he talks about him. So this guy is a Rush listener.
Yeah.
But he didn't really believe that was his name.
I don't think for a second he thought that was his name. But he stands by that all through the confrontation. He mentions it several times. Oh, I thought it was your name. But you know he didn't think it was his name. He recognizes him from TV.
And according to Newsweek, this happened at a bar in
New York. Was it a bar? Yeah. What? When you see the tape, it doesn't look like... It looks like they're outdoors somewhere in like a tented area, like a fair. But it could be a bar. The video, which blew up after being published on a right-wing YouTube channel called That's the Point with Brandon, captures Cuomo growing agitated. Yes. he starts out, you know how a car, they always go, it goes 0 to 60 in 5 seconds or whatever. He starts out at 60 and then gets more angry as the tape goes on. I don't know what exactly went on before they started videotaping him, but he looks like he's going to burst a vein in his forehead at the beginning of this. And then the more they talk, the angrier and angrier he gets.
Steve wants to talk about whether or not Fredo is offensive. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. How are you both?
Good, Steve. What do you know about this?
Well, you know, as an Italian, I'm not going to say it's like the worst offensive word to use. I can think of probably 3 or 4 other words, you know, that they reference Italian as. But, you know, it's just one of those things like, why would you go there? You know, if you wanted to, you go for somebody's ethnicity, for their, you know, for their family, you go after their heritage. You know, that's a personal dig. You know, if you wanted to, he could have called him Kevin from Home Alone, and it wouldn't have meant anything to Chris Cuomo.
Right.
But because he went after, you know, the reference of Godfather and this whole association of, you know, mafia and traitor and everything else that's tied to that movie and to that character, I think it's just kind of, you know, they knew what they were doing. Chris Cuomo being a lawyer, I'm surprised actually fell for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, he takes a lot of pride in his family. If you ever watch the show, he has a lot of pride, talks about how his family came over here and, you know, what they've been able to accomplish in politics. I don't know. I find it offensive. I think that they knew what they were doing. They went after him, and he fell for it. Shame on him. But at the same time, this is the type of environment we're living in where we go after people now because they're brown or yellow or white or whatever association is, because that's what we're seeing, and those are the personal attacks that are being fueled every day in the news, on TV, on radio, not on your show. But you know what I mean? It's like that's what we hear every day.
Sure. And back in the day, remember, his father, Mario Cuomo, was thought to be maybe a candidate for president, and the talk then was that he was mobbed up.
Yeah.
Just simply because he was Italian. So I'm sure that's part of it, too.
That's such a fallacy. Steve, thank you so much for calling. I'm half Italian, Steve. So I was half offended.
Well, you know what, Wendy?
Yes.
You're 100% in my book, no matter what you are.
Oh, God, love you. Ciao, baby.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye.
Thank you.
Somebody has texted in, it's an insult to call someone a Cuomo.
Oh, come on. 815 says, Fredo is weak. He's dumb, besides the fact he can be bought or charmed into betraying his family.
There's truth to that.
Fredo Corleone, that was a good way to describe him.
So that's a slam.
But it's so weird that would be such a hot button for him.
I agree.
He seems so much smarter than that, to where you would just, shrug it off, right?
Anger issues? Sure seems like
I guess.
It.
I guess there is. All right. We'll take a break, and then it is Tech Tuesday. We'll check in with Bridget Carey and find out what's going on in the world of technology. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, it's Tech Tuesday. Bridget Carey from CNET makes a triumphant return to the show. Bridget, we want to congratulate you on the great news. You've had a baby boy.
I did. Felix is 3 months now, and I'm already back at work and doing the whole thing.
His name is Felix. How much did he weigh, and is he HD compatible?
You got USB-C recharging, yeah.
Good news.
Yeah, he was a healthy 8-pound baby, so.
Wow.
Well, all smiles, everything's good.
Congratulations. It's always kind of difficult to go back to work after you've had a kid, but.
It's even more difficult when you have now a 3-year-old also going, like the level of evolved I've done on what tired really means is incredible.
And does baby number one appreciate baby number two? Has that happened yet or not yet?
We have moments.
Yeah.
And you'll have more.
Yeah. And then moments where it's like, can you please put the baby down? And oh, okay.
It changes all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you were missed. Let's talk about this Equifax data breach. I saw in emails on social media, hey, you know, you can get $125, but then when you look at the fine print, you have to provide documentation. And what's going on with that? Is anyone getting the $125?
You know, it sounds good when you're like, okay, cool, I'll get $125 payout if I apply, but then really, if everyone does it, if every person claims their share, you really get less than a quarter, less than 25 cents. So you can choose, though, to instead get 10 years of free credit monitoring. Now, that obviously is worth more than, you know, the 25 cents or whatever. So you might not even get your full 125. They're not, you know, guaranteeing that as your compensation. So if you're going to go through the trouble, you might just want to go through, get the credit monitoring for the value. But, yeah, obviously not everyone's going to do it. You know, people don't, you know, do this kind of stuff. But it does shine a light on that. You can't count on it being $125.
It's kind of not worth it that your information was compromised, and here's $125 to shut you up.
Right, exactly. And all the trouble it's worth to go apply for it and everything. You know, so if you're going to do the trouble, just get the credit monitoring and then try to move on like we all do, I guess, right?
I'm a huge baseball fan. The game of baseball could be changed by technology and possibly soon. What do you know about that, Bridget?
So we have this cool feature that my colleague did. It's up now on CNET about basically a computer that does the job of the umpire, seeing exactly where balls are going in the strike zone and making the call. So you're kind of removing that human error because, you know, depending on someone's height and where they're standing, it's always ripe for arguments, as you know coaches argue with umpires on whether it was a strike or not. And so really what they're doing is testing out this computer system to measure it for them. Now, it's not in the major leagues yet, but we did a video where we took a field trip and like saw how it's being tested over in New Jersey. So the consensus from folks is that it still needs some work. It's got some kinks. But a lot of the players are like, you know, if you can eliminate the guesswork and really get a true answer, why not?
Don't they already have that on the screen where it shows where it was in the strike zone?
Yes.
So they're halfway there.
Well,
exactly. You see it, but then what's happening is that the umpire in their ear is getting some technician to tell them what it was from the computer. You know, so yes, you can see it on TV, and that's a different kind of effect. But really, here it's the umpire isn't making his own call right in the field. It's like he has an earpiece in, and someone's saying, you know, what it is over in the computer room.
Bill, your face means you have a thought. Go.
Well, the argument is that it dehumanizes baseball, that you're letting all the decisions come down to technology instead of a human umpire. I'm somewhere in the middle. I've seen some horrible calls made over the years, but
that's part of the game, though.
Part
what,
of
are you going
to
have a pitching machine instead of a pitcher now?
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
I was on the fence too, but then I'm like, well, there's still like other people who are going to have jobs manning the whole system. But I know I kind of like the little cuteness of the people behind it.
Yeah,
it is what makes it, you know, part of it. But then watch, you know, in like a couple decades, we'll look back and think, oh, how barbaric people are making the calls. How crazy is that?
Bridget, early in the season, the Cubs had a player, Ben Zobrist, and there was a call that he wasn't happy with, and he jokingly said to the umpire, that's the reason computers are going to replace you, as a joke, and they tossed him out of the game just for saying that.
And then his wife tossed him out of the bed.
Got
I don't
crazy
know what's going
that.
On with
yeah.
that. All right. And I have, I think, we both have an iPhone 6S, Bill. You made the jump to an iPhone.
Yeah.
I'm not having a problem with it. I would keep it forever, although it's starting to not work as well. So what's the iPhone 11 all about?
Oh, it's going to be that time of year again where we're entering September and there's going to be another iPhone. It's always in September. We're thinking it's going to be maybe September 10th is the announcement, so it's mid-September. But the rumors and the reports all say that we're going to get three, and they're going to kind of look like the last bunch, you know. So it'll be called probably iPhone 11, and they'll have a high-end one. Probably called 11 Pro. We never heard of a Pro iPhone before, but that's what they call their computer, their MacBook laptops. You know, they get like Apple Books, and there's the Pro level. So maybe they'll start using that naming system for their phones. And maybe there'll be a low-end model called the 11R, or maybe there'll be a bigger one called the 11 Max. You know, it's always the naming is the game that we wonder now, because ever since the iPhone 10, which was actually an X, everyone kind of didn't know what to call it. Do you call it the iPhone X? Do you call it the iPhone 10? I think that's going to go away, and you're going to go back to the numbers, and it's going to look a lot like the iPhone 10, where you have that, you know, kind of cut out on top, and it does Face ID.
So I just will follow my own advice. Since these new ones are coming out, wait to get a lower model at a cheaper price. Is that a good way to do it? Because I don't really need all the bells and whistles. It's already got pretty many.
It's probably going to have a lot of the similar bells and whistles as the one from last year. So, yeah, you can pick up last year's model maybe. But they are looking at starting at $1,000. And you don't know, is Apple really going to sell last year's model cheaper? Or are they just going to stop selling last year's model and say, no, the new one is 11 and we're not going to put it on sale, the other one. So now you have to buy the more expensive one. They've done that before because they don't want to have like a discounted version. What they tend to do instead is have a new one that just has a few less features. Like instead of two cameras on the back, there's one camera on the back. And you know, the photos you take and share, you know, no one's none the wiser anyway.
Yeah, that's
this
true.
One goes to 11.
Oh, good. That
that's
should
the
be
significance.
Their tagline.
Why September? Why do they always release them in September? Is there a significance there?
It's how it all started with the market. I mean, back to school season, you get a lot of new computers and phones, and it's been the fall is always a hot time for new phones, and so they kind of just always been in that cycle.
And also with Christmas close by, if
exactly.
someone's on the fence, you could get it for somebody as a gift.
That's
right?
What I want, Bill.
Right.
Yeah, oh, done.
Yeah,
already
fall,
done.
The fall is always there, so they're ready for your Black Fridays and whatnot.
Ah, it all makes sense. Bridget, we're so happy for you. Two babies down, eight to go. You're almost there. Bridget passed out. Yeah. I heard a thud.
So you have Felix and what's your other child? A girl, correct?
Yeah, Olivia.
Olivia and
so
Felix.
Nice.
Pretty awesome.
Very nice. Well, we're thrilled for you and we're glad you're back.
Well, thanks. It's good to be back.
Absolutely.
Good to talk to you guys.
Bridget Carey from CNET. Go to CNET.com for all your tech information. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then more show. But first, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, thank you, Steve. Ryan Burrow is in the studio with us, WGN Radio news anchor and ABC News Radio correspondent. I think about everywhere I go, I hate to admit this, but everywhere I go, I think about what will I do if a shooting happens? Because it's happening everywhere, at schools, at shopping malls, at concerts. And yesterday at the Chicago VA hospital, what can you tell us about this, Ryan?
This is a story that we still don't have a lot of answers to. An armed man, apparently armed with some kind of assault rifle, takes some shots outside of the VA hospital on the west side, and then continues this rampage on the inside. We know there were several shattered windows. Bullet holes can still be seen outside of the building. And then went inside, and really within seconds, the VA police who were at the facility had him completely cornered and, you know, took him into custody. Chicago police came, and nobody was hurt in all of this.
Thankfully,
no one was hurt. Now, why this gentleman did this, we don't know. Our reporting from ABC suggests this man is not a military veteran. We don't know what it was he was doing there. There were some witnesses who reported hearing him saying things, who hit me, who hit me. So it's possible he was seeking out somebody who had wronged him on the outside of the hospital. That is something that witnesses have brought to us, but we don't know anything beyond that. And really, authorities to this point are not letting us know. We don't even know the guy's name. I mean, they had him within 30 seconds, and we don't know who this person
is.
Why
is that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, usually we at least know a name.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I was in Dayton last week, and we knew the shooter's name within, you know, 8 hours of the shooting, as well as all the victims. I mean,
so they know his name. They just haven't passed that information on yet.
They have
correct?
Told us that they do not believe that he is a military veteran. They have told us that they have had encounters with him before. Now, are these encounters criminal encounters? Are these encounters mental health encounters? We don't know at this point. They believe he's a man in his 30s to 40s.
You know, with that Walmart shooting that went on, there have been other Walmarts that there have been reports and I would rather be safe than sorry. A lot of times it turned out not to be a shooter.
Sure.
I still go to Walmart. I went to Walmart over the weekend. I will continue to do so. But when you hear something like that, I would rather them clear the store than take any chances. I know it turned out to be a false report, sure. But I mean, isn't that the way we have to do things now?
I mean, it's the fire alarm. You know, the fire alarm goes off. You should all get out of the building, right? But a lot of us don't. We don't move quickly. We think it's a joke.
I would.
We don't.
Nothing's a joke anymore.
I know. But you know how many? I've been in a restaurant before where a fire alarm has gone off and everyone just kind of went, huh? I mean, firefighters are literally
on your Facebook page
walking past us, and everyone's like, "Not going to ruin our meal. I'm not giving up this meal." You know,
so. This was, as you mentioned, a VA hospital. There were armed guards, security guards nearby. How does this play out differently if this is a regular hospital, not a VA hospital?
Yeah, I mean that was helpful. I mean, there are a lot of areas where there are armed guards, and we don't know what this guy's intention was. Was he just trying to scare someone? We don't know. I mean, you hope that you know it. I don't know what you hope. The good news is, I guess, out of all of this is that, you know, no shots were fired at anybody.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of cleanup going on today, things that need to be replaced, windows that need to be replaced, but nobody was hurt. And we don't know, like I said, if he was trying to get at somebody, if he was just trying to scare someone, if he was trying to scare people, we don't know.
Is there a press conference scheduled? I just find it kind of weird that we don't have any more information.
We're hoping for one. The mayor and police superintendent are holding an honorary event right now, and we're hoping that afterwards maybe they'll talk about this, or at least tell us, hey, we're going to be talking about this later.
Don't they? Oh, I mean, I find this so bizarre that
Is there reason to believe that because they're withholding information that there is more to the story? Is there any?
I don't know. I don't know where they're at in their investigation right now. I mean, they're clearly getting a ton of phone calls from us, and usually
I would imagine
you'd want to at least shut us up for a little while, you know. But they probably just want to make sure they got all their ducks in a row before, you know. And they may be waiting for formal charges. They may still be trying to find out how many shots were fired.
Still, though, they usually announce this stuff now. I guess it matters that no one was injured. Things might be a different story had someone been injured.
And I want to point this out, too. You know, he could have been killed. I mean, those officers could have come in and killed him right on the spot. That's one thing they said about the Missouri kid who went into the Walmart with all that ammunition and was videoing. Nobody knows what you're trying to do there. I mean, there was an off-duty firefighter who held him at gunpoint. There's nothing that says that off-duty firefighter didn't feel threatened and
absolutely
shoot him. You know, I mean, that may not have been his intention. He may have just been trying to, but you know, that could have been how it ended as well.
And thank God for that off-duty firefighter who was there. And then I had mentioned the Walmarts. There were other, I think there was one in Bedford Park, one in St. Charles, where people thought they heard shots. I know everybody is quick to react now, but I have to admit, if I hear anything that sounds like it, if it's a motorcycle backfiring or something, I'm not sticking around to find out what it is. I'm going to get out.
I keep running the video in my head of Dayton over and over of the people who are obviously hearing something behind them, and they initially, you see their initial reaction, like, what the heck is mm-hmm. that? And then all of a sudden, they see people running. You can see in their mind all of a sudden, oh gosh, get away. Mm-hmm. You know, you see that process that goes through their heads when something turns from what's that to, oh no, run. You know, and it's scary, but it's kind of interesting to watch that you know, how people react, you know, not everyone's always in tune that what is going on is something bad that I need to get away
right,
from.
Of course.
And things are heightened now. There was some kids were out in the neighborhood and somebody blew off an M80 or something, and I have to be honest with you, for a half a second I'm like, I stopped, I thought, should I call 911? Was that a gunshot? And it wasn't. I didn't think it was, but I bet police and 911 officers are getting more calls, because what if it was? What if I just dropped the ball and said, oh, it's just an M80, goofy kids?
You know, the ShotSpotter technology that they've added to the west and south sides of Chicago are supposed to be able to identify when gunshots are fired. And a reason that they put that in there is because they found out they weren't learning about a lot of shootings until someone actually called 911. So if shots were fired and no one reported 911, they'd have no idea,
right.
But now they know as soon as a shot's fired, it alerts their, I believe it's a handheld or phone device, and then they're there.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, maybe the victim's the only person who knew that a shot was fired, or maybe someone's too scared to say something, they're already there. So, not everyone's got this kind of technology,
sure.
But there is
right.
something that can differentiate a backfiring car, an M80, and an actual gunshot.
All right, well, the story's far from over. I know, Ryan, you'll continue to chase it and let us know what goes on detail-wise. Thanks so much for stopping in.
You got
appreciate
it.
It. That's Ryan Burrow. A quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. If you want to reach us, if you have any questions or if you have any comments, 312-981-7200 is our phone number and our text line. I want to go back to something you said a little while ago with Ryan Burrow. You talked about when you're in a situation, when you're out in public, you are now noticing, I guess, potential escape routes should something go wrong.
I know I've been accused of being an alarmist in the past. I am no longer an alarmist. I'm living my life because that's what we got to
sure.
do. But you never know what might happen. And I find myself when I'm in a movie theater, I kind of, it's not like I, you know, make a chart or a graph, but I notice where the exits are. I never used to be a really great flyer. I've gotten better at flying. However, I still count the rows, because you think back, like if there's smoke in the cockpit, you need to feel your way.
Yeah.
I'm just finding myself being prepared.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No.
It's not a bad thing at all.
I mean, I guess we should have all kind of been like that before, but I don't.
We were a more trusting world before.
Yes.
Right? You pass this on to the rest of the family, I'm guessing.
No.
You don't?
I have decided not to. Well, no. I guess maybe I should, but can I just tell you that kids today, and ranging in all ages, are probably more worried and concerned about this than we are.
No question about it.
So they've already gone over what they're going to do.
Right.
And a lot of them are, you know, taught the active shooter drills in school and stuff.
Yeah.
So they probably know more than we do.
I'm sure of that. And it's just preparedness. There's nothing to apologize for. You just say, in a situation that I can't control, I want to know what my escape routes are.
Yeah, but being a bit of a control freak, I am noticing that there are more and more situations that are beyond my control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't like it.
There are.
For all of us.
There definitely are. Here's a story that ties in. Hot selling item for school gear this year, bulletproof backpacks.
Heard about these.
It's out of Miami.
Yeah.
With kids going back to class soon, parents are thinking about getting school supplies, but some might be surprised by what they see on the shelves at some stores. Backpacks come in all shapes and colors, but now there's one that can stop a gunshot. Office Depot is among the retailers selling bulletproof backpacks. I have to admit, I hadn't heard about this until this morning. It would surprise me to see these on the shelf, but then common sense takes over and goes, you know, if it makes a kid feel a little bit safer, by all means.
Yeah, but then you need a bulletproof hoodie and a bulletproof pair of leather chaps or something. I mean,
right, right. Marisol Rodriguez is thinking about getting one for her teenager, the bulletproof backpacks. Do I have that much money to spend on it? No, I don't, she says, but I am willing to work the hours and the time to do what I need to do as a mother to protect my child. Eric Swanson purchased a bulletproof backpack for his child. They can protect children in a way that doesn't require them to think about it other than to pull the thing up. In addition to full backpacks, some manufacturers offer inserts that slide into a current backpack. Good idea. CBS News took one to a legal shooting range last year. It stood up to a handgun, but like many products, they are not built to stop the more powerful AR-15s or AK-47s.
And what seems to be the weapon of choice in school shootings?
The ones we just mentioned. These are heavier. They're more expensive shields for backpacks that can stop powerful rifle bullets like the AK-47. Bulletproof backpacks and shields can cost between $100 and $300. So your standard backpack ranges from what? $10 to $40, $10 to $50.
You can get them up in the hundreds.
More than that.
But still, again, there's no guarantee.
Right. But then you're thinking to yourself, if you have two or three kids, that's you're spending $300 to $900,
yeah,
depending on the price range. Several manufacturers say that they have seen a spike in sales for these products after the recent mass shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. A San Francisco area company is offering another option. Wendy, it's something you alluded to earlier. A bulletproof hoodie for
Honestly?
Adults and children called the Wonder Hoodie. Yeah. Vi Tran, the founder and creator of Wonder Hoodie, says she describes it as a hoodie that has a bulletproof vest ingrained inside of it so that you can zip it on and off.
What about the head part? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't know how. I don't think you can have that in the hood part.
Why not?
It'd be so bulky. Wouldn't it? I don't know how you could fit that
in there. Well, I would like to have it available in case. And then you pull it up.
There is a South Florida company called Defend-A-Pack, which also makes bulletproof backpacks. The company claims that it's a backpack that can conceal a bulletproof vest within it.
I don't know. I don't know if I like this. It's like, you know, they're making money off the fear of us.
That's what I keep going back and forth on in my own head. You're going... It's something that's a good option to have, but you're cashing in on tragedy, but you almost have to at some point. And again, if it brings peace of mind to your child,
that's what's true.
That's the bottom line in all this.
Do what works best for your family and don't let other people judge
right.
you. That's all I'm going to say.
Wouldn't you get a moment or two of sadness as you were doing your, I mean, it's a time-honored tradition, the shopping for school gear. And as you're looking through and getting, you know, crayons and cigar boxes and rulers to see a bulletproof backpack,
yeah.
you just say, how have we gone so horribly wrong? Why is this a thing now?
I know. I can't understand it. A text from 708. Would you guys please stop with the questions? Maybe if we quit giving publicity to some of these shooters, it would cut down on these type of things. I don't want to know his name when we were speaking to Ryan Burrow. That's not going to make any difference. And I'm sorry, I do want the information, and God forbid we ask questions.
Yeah, I understand somebody thinking that way, but if we can gain any knowledge from answers to those questions, then they're questions that have to be asked. Don't you agree?
And I was saying about, you know, being prepared, and it's just something that we are learning how to do, but our kids have probably already
sure.
learned this.
Yeah.
815 says, this is years ago, but my son walked into a building with me and saw a snow globe and a stapler on the desk, and he says that he looks for things that if somebody comes in, he can defend himself with. He went to the Army a few years later.
It's both practical and sad at the same time, because you say, I understand that, I get that train of thought, I have to have something to defend myself, but again, it's horrible that we have to come to this. Yeah.
219, out of the blue, my 9-year-old granddaughter told me that if there's a shooter while we're in Target, she's hiding behind the stacks of toilet paper and paper towels. Not even close to what I thought about at 9.
Hmm.
But the world's changing, and I'm glad that our kids are, you know, more involved in it.
Yeah. Yep. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show ahead. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Jen, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Very hard to believe, but on Sunday, it was the 5th anniversary of the loss of a comedy legend, Robin Williams. Very, very sad news. We were out to dinner the other night, my wife and I, with friends of ours, and we were talking a little bit about Robin Williams, and this is the conversation that took place. We were saying that he's one of the few actors that was a comedian who really translated not just well, but almost perfectly to more dramatic roles. Not always.
I kind of liked the dramatic roles better.
Interesting.
I really, really did.
Interesting. Could you have imagined, like, for most of us, the first time we ever saw Robin Williams was when he was Mork from Ork on an episode of Happy Days. So when you thought about that guy or the version of him where you'd see him doing an HBO comedy special where he was just running around the audience being extremely manic, could you ever think that that same guy could harness all that ability into what he did in Good Will Hunting or The World According to Garp or Dead Poets Society?
Yeah. I didn't
almost
think
unbelievable.
That's, and I know, listen, I am not a stand-up comic. You are. Robin Williams was funny. I'm not denying that. He wasn't my favorite stand-up because he was kind of all over the place, which was his style.
Yes.
But maybe I don't prefer that style.
Yeah.
When I saw him in Dead Poets and Garp and Good Will Hunting, he moved me.
Right.
He really did.
Right. The only time I didn't like him in Dead Poets Society was there's a scene or two where he goes into almost the stand-up version of himself. You know what I mean? There's a scene or two in the classroom where he's just, and he does it a little bit in Good Morning Vietnam as well. Well, he does it quite a bit in Good Morning Vietnam, but that script lent itself more to that.
I didn't see that. I got to see
that. Oh, you haven't seen Good Morning Vietnam? He's really, I mean, the movie's really good, but he's really good in it as Adrian Cronauer. So we were trying to figure out other comedians, either stand-up or movie comics, that were able to translate to drama, and we only came up with a couple.
I have one.
See if you agree. Who's yours? Who
Jim
comes
Carrey.
To mind? Jim Carrey's high up 100%. On the list. Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple movies that are more serious movies that Jim Carrey was in, and this TV show that he's got now on Showtime.
Kidding. God, it's so good. It is so good.
And don't you think, though, there's often been the comparison of comics trying to do dramatic work and more dramatic actors who try to do comedy. And there are some that can really pull off both. Jimmy Stewart was magnificent at both. Jack Lemmon was fantastic at both.
God, I love Jack Lemmon.
Me too. Me too. So much. But it's really a gift to be able to do one. But if you can do both, even close to equally as good, you've got something, you know?
Only other person I can think of is Kevin Hart.
And which one would he fit under? One, just for curiosity reasons.
He does them both.
Yeah,
he can be dramatic.
Both equally as good. Right? I agree with you about Jim Carrey.
That was the first person that came to my mind, and I'm sure there are others.
I'll throw the other two names at you that I think are pretty good at it. Tell me if you agree or disagree.
And listeners, jump in if you can think of some. 312-981-7200. Good topic. I'd like
By
to have
means.
Dinner with you sometime.
Oh, no,
have a good conversation.
I'm booked solid. I got nothing. There's no openings. All right. So the ones that come to mind for me are Bill Murray.
Yeah, gotta give it to him. Yes.
You agree with me
on
Bill Murray? All right, so I don't know what you've seen of his. The first one he did, I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. It's some dramatic role. It's from a Somerset Maugham novel, and the name is escaping me.
Mad Dogs and Glory.
It's not Mad Dogs and Glory. No, that's a great guess. But actually, you could almost make a point for him in that, although that's kind of a comedy. Kind of. It's a little bit of everything. I want to say something's Edge. Razor's Edge? Does that sound right?
Yes.
I'm almost positive Razor's Edge was the one that he said, I know I've done all comedy, but I got to try this. And it was okay. It wasn't great. But then later he did a couple more dramatic roles. Lost in Translation is the one. Did you ever see Lost in Translation?
No, I'm writing these movies down. I keep saying, oh, I have to watch it.
Lost in Translation has some very funny moments in it, but it's primarily a drama, but he'll just tug at you in that one. There's a couple of scenes, especially towards the end, where if you're not crying, you're right on the verge of it, and you say to yourself, well, Bill Murray, the guy who does Nick the Lounge Singer on Saturday Night Live, is making me cry.
Or
how did
Spackler,
he do this?
Spangler,
Carl Spackler.
Spackler.
Yeah.
The Razor's Edge was the name of it.
Razor's Edge.
Yeah. An adaptation
It's Somerset Maugham. Is that the guy? Yeah. So in the beginning of that, I thought to myself, he can pull this off. And he did. He pulled it off. It wasn't great, but it made you realize he's got that ability. Bill Murray has that ability to be serious through a whole movie. But then once you see, like I said, Lost in Translation, there's also a movie called Broken Flowers where he goes back to kind of meet the girls that meant something in his life, the women that have meant something, former girlfriends. And that's a very touching movie also.
What's that called?
Broken Flowers.
I'm going to be very busy this week.
All right. So I've got others, but let's go to listeners and find out what they think. Now, if you're just joining us, it's comedians, either stand-up comics or movie comics, that have made the transition into drama and hopefully done it well. Who do you think?
This may have been one of yours as you were talking to your friends at dinner, Bill. Jack, who do you think has made that switch?
Yeah, I just wanted to... brief comment on Bill Murray. I think he's fantastic, and he did FDR, and I don't know if you remember the name of the movie, but he was fantastic in that. It was Something on the Hudson.
Right. I didn't see the movie, but I've heard good things about it. He was really good in that, huh?
Fantastic. It's a movie worth watching or picking up and watching. I think that's his best work, actually.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. All right, so who are you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say Jackie Gleason, did The Honeymooners and stand-up comedy and... just a fantastic comedian, and he did, he was in The Hustler, he was in Soldier in the Rain, and he was in another movie like Kipo Gijo or something like that he was in.
But was he serious in some of these?
Yes.
Like very dramatic?
Oh, yeah. Really dramatic.
Soldier in the Rain, it's such an odd mixture, but the movie works. Tuesday Weld is in it.
I love her.
And they have a romantic connection, and it doesn't make any sense, but it works. And it's a movie that, again, it's one of those movies where you can pick it up and watch it and really, really enjoy it. It's just a nice mix of seriousness. And it's like they say, Soldier in the Rain is like the dog doesn't know when to get out of the rain, and, and he stays in the military. And it's just a great movie.
Yep,
and
no
when
doubt.
He plays Minnesota Fats in The Hustler, he does a great job in that and just that little part that he was in.
Jack, thank you so much. That's a great one. I wouldn't have never guessed that.
Yeah, he's good.
I'm sure this guy was on your list. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
Well, you have someone who could make the switch from comedy to drama?
Yeah, I can't think of like specific movies, but one of them is Steve Carell.
Yes.
100%.
I think he's done a wonderful job. Some of them were misses, but there's some hits in there.
I have to make a prediction, and I've known Steve for a long time, since way back at Second City. He's going to win an Academy Award someday. I know he's been nominated once or twice, but at some point he's going to win an Academy Award for his acting ability. He's so good. You're right.
In Beautiful Boy, he is just amazing. I love him.
Yeah, and I think sometimes and you can notice that some actors or some comedians have, like, I feel like some emotion hidden inside.
Yes.
That they release in the movies. And that's why, you know, people, you're surprised with the death of Robin Williams. You sometimes worry about these comedians. They're going to suffer through the same path, and you're just, like, hoping that they make it through, and then they can, you know, that people, that support system around them.
Well said, Renee. Thank you so much. Good call on Steve Carell.
Thank you. And he's pretty dramatic as Michael Scott at times. I don't know why, even though he's a jerk, I feel for him.
But that's what made that character so three-dimensional, is everybody knows a guy like that, but there was that extra bonus of being vulnerable when he needed to be. Not everybody could have pulled that off. Right. All right. Join us, 312-981-7200. Let us know who your thoughts are on comedians that have made the successful transition into more serious roles, more dramatic roles. 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. On Sunday, the five-year anniversary, hard to believe, it's been 5 years since we lost the great Robin Williams. In honor of him, I had a conversation with some friends the other day talking about other actors like Robin Williams, actors and actresses, that have made the transition from comedy, either stand-up comedy or film comedy, to more dramatic roles. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Who has done it well?
Jason has called us, 312-981-7200. Who do you think, Jason?
How about Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
From doing, like, Bosom Buddies, Bachelor Party, Big, to Philadelphia, Private Ryan.
Yep. Hard to believe that that's the same guy, but it is the same guy, and he does comedy and drama equally as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting, too. He had a little bit of an appearance on a Family Ties episode
Uncle
early
Ned.
In the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where he's been. Yeah, he was the alcoholic brother to Elise, and I think in that role you got to see how he was comedic, and then he was able to turn on that switch when he realized, I think he hit Alex in the face.
Yep.
And he realized what he had done, and you just saw that ability to switch roles real quickly.
Good memories.
Perfect,
Jason.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you for calling. Ken has one. Hey, Ken, who has made the switch from comedy to drama?
I think a good candidate is Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You don't, Bill?
No, I do. I hadn't even thought about that. But yeah, Woody, it's hard to believe seeing what he does now that that was Woody Boyd on Cheers.
Yeah.
It's amazing, right?
He was so funny.
Yeah. Good call. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Ken. Bill, did this name come up? Hi, Steve. How are you?
How you doing?
Who do you have for us, Steve?
Jerry Lewis.
Now, I'm going to agree with you, but I bet there's a lot of people, Wendy, disagreeing with you. Give an example. Why do you think Jerry Lewis? Because I think of him in King of Con. Did you ever see the King?
He was great in that.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you that.
He was good in there. Plus, he was Buddy Love, too.
Oh, yes. Very strange movie. Very strange movie.
I never laughed at the guy, but he was, he could be pretty serious, you know.
Yeah.
I never laughed at the guy, nor am I. Steve, I'm with you.
Wow. You guys are tough. Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
See him. You've seen The Kings of Comedy, right?
The King of Comedy?
King
yeah,
of Comedy.
With De Niro?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's a role that was kind of based on Johnny Carson. He's a talk show host. Not the nicest guy in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a great movie.
Yeah, he does a nice job in it.
All right, I'll give him credit. That's one movie I like that he's been in.
All right.
Rich is on the line. Rich, who has made the switch from comedy to drama?
Hi, good morning. I have two. One I was pretty impressed with is Paul Reiser.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you're and, right.
And he could have, all he needed to do was Aliens and that. You know, I mean.
And Diner. And,
yes.
Love
yeah.
that movie.
Yeah.
And the top dog to me, and it blows my mind about this person, is Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh my God.
I hate to say it, but yes, in A Star is Born, Andrew Dice Clay was really good. I never thought I'd say that about him, but you're right.
And Vinyl.
Yes, he was in the HBO Vinyl. That got canceled, which bummed me out. But he played a DJ there. I didn't know it was him in either places. I had to find out later. Good call.
Yeah, he's a better serious actor than his comedian.
I agree with you. I never laughed at any one of his movies.
Oh! But I was trying at some of his dialogue. He is a serious actor.
Good call, Rich.
Thank you
so much.
And finally, Dave is on the line with us. Hey, Dave, who do you think has made the switch?
Well, this should be, my memory escapes me when it was released, but two people you could never imagine in a movie would be George Burns and John Denver in Oh God.
Yeah, they were both pretty good in it, weren't they?
It was a, people miss them both, but that movie, you got to be kidding me. Two people you couldn't imagine in a movie.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate your call.
A bunch of texts, Wendy, have come in. Several people mentioning the same actress, and I will give you the example that I think is...
We need a woman.
It's been all guys. Carol Burnett.
Yeah, 100%.
Did you ever see Carol Burnett in a movie called Pete and Tilly?
Mm-mm.
It's Carol Burnett and it's Walter Matthau, and they're two people that meet and fall in love a little bit later in life and have a son together, and then things start to go a little bit wrong. She is so great in that. I mean, you think about her being on the Carol Burnett Show, and boy, she owned television for decades, but this is such a great dramatic role for her. And I've seen her do it in other movies, too, but this one in particular, she's just so great in.
All right, Pete and Tilly.
Pete and Tilly, yeah, Carol Burnett. And somebody's mentioning that, Tim is mentioning that actually by name, the serious nature of that movie. Several people mentioning Steve Martin, and yes to Steve Martin without a doubt.
Yes. I'm sad we didn't mention him sooner, quite honestly.
Did you ever see Shop Girl?
No.
He's in this movie, Shop Girl, that he wrote. He wrote it as a short story, and then they made it into a full-length movie. you won't. He's almost unrecognizable. I mean, he still looks like Steve Martin, but the way he acts in that movie is just so great. And as long as we're talking about him, I'm also going to throw in John Candy, because even though he's just serious in a few scenes in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles,
oh, that is so heartbreaking.
It pulls your heart out. It does.
When you said Carol Burnett, it made me think of Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
Remember Ordinary People?
Yes.
She was a goofy gal,
and then
she made that transition, not frequently, I don't think.
Right.
But that movie alone.
Oh, so great. And the other woman whose name needs to be mentioned, nobody has said it, I keep looking on the text line to see, Melissa McCarthy has been really good in a couple of dramatic roles.
She's pretty great.
A texter also mentions Kristen Wiig, who's only been serious in a couple of movies, but yeah, very effective in all of them. Lucille Ball in a movie called Stone Pillow that I don't know what that is. I have to look that up. I don't remember ever seeing in the early days, Lucille Ball, before she was the Lucy of TV, was in some more serious roles, but I will look up that movie Stone Pillow. I've never heard of it until today.
What about Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah. Yep. Good call on Whoopi Goldberg. I hadn't thought about it. You know, to me, Wendy, she's just one of the hosts of The View. I don't need any more of Whoopi. I love her, but that's where I see her.
She has no eyebrows.
Yeah, there's that. Reason to be serious.
You pointed
right
that
there.
Out.
Yeah, she's without eyebrows. Ray Romano has been very good in some roles.
He was in Vinyl as well.
And good in Vinyl.
Yeah.
And another texter said, you can't leave out Michael Keaton.
Oh, especially in You Better Call Saul.
Right. Right,
or
right.
Better Call Saul.
It's
all good, man.
Michael Keaton's not in that, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Michael McKean.
Oh, yeah.
Which
also fits.
I got to throw that in the list, too.
He's Lenny Kozlovsky in Laverne and Shirley, and then he's also...
His brother. Yeah. I can't think of his name.
He's also the brother. Right.
Damn it. I'm sorry. I did get them mixed up. So Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton in so many movies in the last couple
he's
years.
He's a great actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
He really
but
is.
But when you saw his early stand-up, you wouldn't have thought that could be the same guy, but it is. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. Oh, and a new show coming up. It's Steve Bertrand. It won't be us. We'll be on the bonus hour. I just realized we have to switch over to the stream.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so the Wintrust business lunch will be here on regular GN. We'll be on the stream.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo, because she is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.